You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Five.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all that. Hopefully you are done in the return lines. You are back to normal, or to some degree. If you saw Raheel and I's tweet earlier this morning, we met at the mall, and strange things happen, like pants be dropping when we be shopping, because we caught a clerk with the mannequin's pants down because we were shopping at the same time. But Barry, Nick, and I are all gathered here with no Nick chestnuts roasting on any open praline fire. You don't have your Starbucks?
I do not.
We can send one of the interns. I have coupons.
Yeah, you did. You gave me one last week that I already used.
Well, then we'll have to use another one. Absolutely. Do you drink coffee, Barry?
I do.
Well, we can
but
load
it's
up.
It's 80-some degrees out, you can so get an iced not coffee. When it's hot.
You can get an iced coffee.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, they're good. My wife got me convinced that they're good.
I would rather watch a grown man de-pants a mannequin than drink iced coffee.
If you go to the Macy's at Sugarland Town Center, yeah, there's a good chance you'll see that.
So did y'all make him like... You said you needed those pants.
So here's the deal. So first, I see Raheel. Raheel doesn't see me. So I'm hiding behind another mannequin, expressing how much I love Raheel Ramzanali and ESPN 97.5. And he's kind of, you can see him, he's kind of like trying to look cool, but look kind of out of the corner of his eye, like, are they talking about me? And then I started getting louder, and then he was looking around more. And then he was looking around like, oh, hey. And he thought it was some other guy. And he's kind of like, oh, hey, yeah, thanks. And I'm like, it wasn't him, it was me. And then he's like, oh, man. So then we started talking.
Raheel's like, I'm a big-time radio star.
Yeah. And he's wearing his orange ESPN 97.5 shirt, by the way.
Okay.
And then I'm sitting there, and I'm looking for the sweatpants to go with a sweatshirt. And I realized that the only pair left is on the mannequin. So I was, like, apologizing profusely to this guy before, saying, can I get those when you get a chance? Take them off the mannequin. Little did I know with Raheel there that he was going to make it look like the most sexual, non-sexual actions in a mall that you may have ever seen. And so I go, Raheel, you got to get a picture of this.
Did Raheel mount this. It? Or are you talking about the guy?
No, the guy. So the guy yeah. And if you look on my at Pac-Man Joel and at Raheel has the same thing. He takes the mannequin from a standing position, lays it on its back over a table of sweatshirts.
Did he lay it down gently?
Gently.
Okay.
And I think he almost cupped one of the cheeks as he laid it down.
Yeah.
And then, if you want to call that foreplay, then he literally says, I'm having a problem with the string. It's on really tight. And I'm going,
boy, if I had a nickel.
And I go, Raheel, you got to get this. So he's like, all right, watch this. I'm going to say to you, have you seen these pictures of my daughter from Christmas? And in the meantime, I'll take pictures. And so, lo and behold, I'm pretending like he's showing me pictures of his daughter, and he's taking pictures of a guy that gets these sweatpants around the ankles of a mannequin who's like half staff in white plastic. It's rather amusing, I must say.
So the mannequin was hashtag blessed?
Yeah, well, amongst other things. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So how was the Christmas for all you guys?
Mine was good. I can't
Seems
complain.
Seems like yours was great.
I drank a lot of whiskey.
Okay.
Which I know I'm not a big drinker, but yeah, I drank a lot of whiskey, enjoyed fam, and ate a lot of food. I came back fatter than I left.
I did pretty much nothing. I did some drinking, but not too much.
Did you buy the PS4 like you promised?
I did not. I bought the Xbox One.
Sell out.
Xbox One.
You're scared.
I did.
Listen.
How do you and Barry have this matchup if you don't have the proper... Yeah,
don't be scared.
Well, I went over to Best Buy, then I went over to GameStop, and I couldn't
spend the money on a superior gaming system?
The PlayStation was cheaper, actually.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's counterintuitive to what I was trying to imply.
That's okay.
That's all right.
But I still like the Xbox more.
Okay.
Nick, your comeback to that, Nick, is, but we already have a room of champions in which two of the three of us have been anointed.
What?
Oh, yeah. Fantasy football.
We won our fantasy football championship.
Oh, congrats, guys. Yeah. How much did y'all win?
I won close to $1,000.
Oh, damn.
Wow. I just won $120.
But. I will say this, too. Let me set this scenario for you.
I lost.
You were out before the championship.
No. In three leagues, I was out in two, but yeah. In one, I won the regular season. Went 11-2.
That's right, yeah.
First round bye, and then Melvin Gordon, Theo Riddick, Doug Martin, and Tyler Eifert all out.
All got benched. Yeah.
All out. So I ended up with like Ryan Griffin as my starting tight end.
Dang.
So I lost third place. Gordon.
Yeah.
I lost Melvin Gordon. So I told you guys the Cinderella story just to get to the Super Bowl of the two challenges by Jay Gruden, each one with DeSean Jackson on incomplete passes being ruled complete, which I'll use the term propelled me to the championship game, shockingly. So I'm down 137-71. Going into the Steelers game, mm-hmm. I have Antonio Brown, and he's done. He was so like it was positive he was going to win that he had Hill of the Bengals, and he was more than questionable. He was doubtful, and he left him in there going, I've got a 137-71 lead. He's not going to come close. So I have Brown in the Steelers game, and then I have Kelsey in the Chiefs defense. And I'm thinking about already sending an email like, congrats, this is over. But then Brown gets that last touchdown for the Steelers, which I'm sure Shock didn't like because he's a Ravens fan.
Sure.
And I go, okay, wait a minute. So he got like 25 for me. So at least it's respectable. But I got Kelsey and the Chiefs D and, you know, the Broncos D is good. I don't have a chance. I went to bed at halftime of the Broncos-Chiefs game. And Kelsey already had like close to 100 yards. But I'm like, I don't see it happening. So I wake up the next morning and my laptop's still open. So I just hit the refresh button and I kind of stepped away like 141-137.
Nice
little comeback victory.
Yeah, for a grand, that's not bad. Legit.
Decent coin there.
Yeah,
well, I'll take that. Travis was not so lucky, from what I heard. Keenan was in one too, and I haven't gotten the final results from Palatial McCardle Manor. But Travis had Zeke last night, but I don't think he had a chance.
Yeah, wow.
We both went back and forth. I actually started Rivers instead of Roethlisberger, but. Quarterbacks in all of our leagues, they're all going to be about between 17 and 21 unless they really go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, unless you get a Colin Kaepernick.
Which is on the bad side, right. Yeah. Or you get someone who went out of their mind this weekend and had like 350. Well, Rodgers had 5 touchdowns, 4 passes.
Not Tom Savage.
No. No, and that's something we're definitely going to get.
Say it was not Tom Savage of the first half.
Yeah. Or Mr. Testy Bill O'Brien will get to after the game, even though you won the division. I think it had kind of gotten to the summit of the mountaintop of I'm tired of all this crap because we finally won the division. So we'll get to that too. But before we get off the Christmas thing, the other thing that I want to say that, and normally, Barry, this is when you get into kind of like the story within the story.
Okay.
My story within the story is one where I don't like the fact that people have to work on the holidays anyway.
Uh-huh.
But why in the hell do all the major grocery chains open up at like 6 a.m. on Christmas Day and stay open till 4 in the afternoon and then shut it down? I almost think that Christmas Day is over, like the official holiday part of it, at about 3. Then people go to the movies. They want to go to get something to eat. And the reason I say this, at the time, I went to the grocery store to get a couple things, and they were like, oh, yeah, we're open. And people are, that's not the biggest question. The biggest question is, when do we close? And I'm like, not normal hours? And they're like, no, we close at 4. So lo and behold, like 5 o'clock, we got no food in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's a vegetarian, and my mother-in-law just kind of snacks. And I go, what am I going to eat for dinner? So I go on and I start Google searching restaurants open in Houston on Christmas 2016.
Fast food.
No, just any restaurant. Yeah. Because I'd like to eat somewhat healthy. You know that. But then I go from Sugarland to Houston. More than 85% of the restaurants listed as open were closed. And all the grocery stores were closed. And on top of it, the baby needed milk. And I'm going, so why wouldn't you reverse that and be open at night so people could go get groceries, could get something to eat, could go to dinner? You know, if they're not big, if they're of another religion or faith, they could go, you know, they can get go out and get something to eat. But instead, the entire, it's like a ghost town except for bars. Because the next morning, I meet all my guys to play basketball, and I was bitching about this very topic, and they're like, yeah, I didn't worry about all that. I just wanted to make sure the bars were open. They were good, so we went out drinking, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, ah, the life of a single guy, as opposed to me needing milk for the baby and trying to get something to eat.
Right.
So I did the PB&J. It sucked.
Really?
Yeah.
On Christmas.
All we had.
Wow. So your Christmas dinner was PB&J?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, oh, well.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, but it's
I heard like there was like Jack in the Box was open.
Well, Nick, you found...
Yeah, I went to Carl's Jr., but they just, you know, I was like, can I get this? Well, we ran out of that. I'm like, well, can I get this? Well, we ran out. Well,
a fast food chain ran out of something?
Yeah, I got a, it was Carl's, yeah, Carl's Jr. in Missouri City.
They just didn't want to mess with you.
He was like, well, we're the only ones that open, so sorry. I mean, I'm like, okay, no problem. I mean, I'm just happy you guys are open. I was able to get a burger, so I wasn't complaining.
Here's the thing. You guys are acting like this is your first Christmas. Like, you had no idea everything was going to be closed and unavailable.
No, I
so,
I
kinda, like movie you can't theaters be are, mad at, right. At because it's really
I could be mad if on Google
part.
You put in 2016 restaurants that are open in Houston and Sugarland,
yeah,
and you get like this laundry list and you end up there's like two.
Yeah, but you know that there's going to be mass closures. Well, so you got to plan ahead, which is why
I knew.
You stock up on the liquor, you stock
up on the
snacks.
But my rebuttal to that is you've got all these stupid box stores that are opening up or staying open 24 hours, staying open as late as they can on Christmas Eve. You got others that are saying, and we're going to be open bright and early on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit annoying that all of a sudden at night when you feel like the holidays in your rearview mirror and now people are just getting back into it, that nothing is open except for bars.
Well.
And you see, you stock up on liquor. You didn't have to.
Well, yeah, because I don't want to leave the house because everything's closed. See how that works?
And you send out a beautiful tweet, so you don't want to leave the house.
Huh?
And because you sent out beautiful tweets, you don't want
which
to leave
one?
The house. About the fact that you're laying in bed and just pondering.
Oh, that was the day after,
but
wasn't it?
But it's just, yeah, I threw up in the back of my mouth a little bit. But,
sorry.
You know, and I had a really bad
visual.
Because
I'm in love.
But there's nothing wrong with
that. Because I'm in love.
I am too, but it just sound there was just it gave you too many opportunities.
Well,
I guess it gave you plenty of opportunities too. So let's not go too far on my that's on my accord. And Nick, you went to the Rockets game.
I did. It was pretty boring last night. It was a blowout.
But so. They did what they
why,
were supposed
yeah,
to do.
Why
right?
would you go to that? That's no good.
It was, you know,
it's date night. It's Nick and Nick in the Rockets game. Well, we got plenty to get to. We'll get to the Rockets. We'll get to the Texans. We'll get to Tom Savage. We'll get to the AFC South champs. And we'll get to all kinds of playoff scenarios and more. We've got a full show lined up for you. We are here, and we are doing our job, so you do yours. Participate. We want you to be a part of the show. You can either hit us up on Twitter, at Pac-Man Joel, at No Hit Nick, at Barry is Funny, or you can call us on the HR&P listener line. That is 713-780-ESPN. You can text that number. You can call that number and join the show directly. And regardless of even if you tweet us, if it's good enough and it has some punch to it, we'll put it on the air. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and a steady dose of No Hit Nick as we head till 4 o'clock on ESPN 97.5. We're here, so why don't you join us? Since most of you were clamoring for us yesterday and didn't know where we were, I did tune in enough to hear that they were doing a game of some sort. I think it was the Miami game, the bowl game. But obviously, we're way better than that. So the fact that we're here and you're here, isn't it our time? So let's make it our time to shine. Before we get into more show and get into the Texans and all that, shall we say, positive debacle from this weekend, I want to tell you guys about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a great program, and even though Christmas is past and the new year is coming, we want to talk about a season of giving and a chance for you to give back to the great kids of the city of Houston, Texas, that maybe didn't do the right thing with the first chance to get an education and make something of themselves, but are trying to this time and could really use your help. If you're looking around your yard, your garage, your driveway, somewhere on your property, and you have an old motorcycle, truck, car, trailer, boat, RV, whether it's running or not, and you've been thinking about getting rid of it, here's the perfect opportunity. All you do is log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com or call 713-225-4226. Tell them you got something that you want to donate. They'll do the rest. They do the paperwork. They come out and tow it away. They make sure they process everything, and you get a tax deduction. So what you were thinking about selling it for, you'll probably get back in a tax deduction, and then you get the good feeling this holiday season of knowing you're making a difference in a child's life somewhere in Houston, Texas. Because what the Cars for Kids program does is they take that used vehicle, trailer, whatever it is, and they turn it into funds that can be used to support kids as they try and get their education, whether it be book money, warm meals, glasses, a bus pass, whatever they need to get that education, stay on that path to make something of themselves. That's what the program does. It's a phenomenal program, and it's only working because you make it work. So please continue to fuel the program that allows these kids to drive down the road to success. Again, HoustonCarsForKids.com, 713-225-4226. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5. They'll take care of you right off the car, not the kid. So with that, guys, we get back to the show. Kind of a different scenario. I watched that Texans game. I'm sure we all did because we were around the house and nothing was open. and I was really hoping Savage was going to be a guy that was going to get in the driver's seat, hit the gas, be what he was when he came in relief the game before, take control of this thing, put the quarterback crap to rest, whether he's going to be the long-term solution or not, and give them a whole bunch of positives heading into the playoffs. The best thing that happened was Barry's scenario played out that we all thought was pretty much impossible.
You all called me foolish, didn't you?
Well, was that in general? Was that in general or just in this situation?
Oh, no, like both. Okay, both. Yeah. Like, you pretty much call me foolish.
Well, and I
was. But when I said, hey, it's not a layup this week, the Jags very well could beat the Titans because, what did we say? They had something to play for. They were playing for their jobs.
And their
coach.
The coach
got fired, and they knew they were going to be evaluated going into next season by a new coaching staff. Those guys came out and played like their jobs were on the line.
Plus, I said, at Jacksonville, they're a different team. They hung in for 3.5 quarters with Minnesota. They somehow play a lot better at home than they do on the road. But I'm looking at that score, and I'm watching things unfold. I'm going, oh, Tennessee at halftime. They're going to have to turn it. They'll turn it on. They'll turn it around. Then Mariota. We can talk about that, too. Two freak accidents. One cost the team a berth in the playoffs. The other one, the two seed in the AFC, may be the best team to play in the opening round of the playoffs, simply because Derek Carr is now gone until, hopefully, OTA.
Well, that's assuming that the Chiefs and the Raiders don't swap.
That's
which could be the best scenario for the Texans, but yeah, we'll talk about that.
So we can get all that, but at the same time, you see all that happen, and lo and behold, Jacksonville wins.
Yep.
And Bill O'Brien said, look, we got smart guys. Even if we didn't tell them about it or use it as motivation, the entire locker room knew what they had to do, and if they did it, what they got. And then is it safe to say they laid an egg in the first half?
The defense did not.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the one positive.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, we're burying the lead here.
Okay.
Guys,
unbury it.
Randy Bullock finally won a game for the Texans. How awesome of him to do it several years later.
Despite him kicking the ball, I thought for sure he was going to make it. But
I know
about his past, but I thought for sure he would make it. I didn't think.
So picture this scenario: Travis is watching the game with his old man. His old man obviously is not a gambler because he said, "Dad, he's jinxed in this building, and he just has the yips." And if you go back and look at it, he's shaking and kind of moving before the snap gets to the holder, Like, Travis thought that it actually could have been called a legal procedure because he was moving that much. But he and his dad bet, this is just like Trading Place, they bet a dollar. And Travis said, Dad, I bet you a dollar he misses this because this is Randy Bullock in this building. And lo and behold, he shanked her wide right.
But he finally came through for the Texans.
I told Travis if they had put the full Texans locker room buffet at the base of the goalpost, he'd have made it. Because that dude looks like an offensive lineman. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There's one of the big leads. The other one everybody said the conspiracy theory was if the Bengals were already out, the quarterback from Katy, Texas was going to make sure that his hometown team... I don't buy that for a second.
No, not at all. Although, I mean, you knew it was going to be a rough game. The first six possessions were punts.
Yep.
It was like, oh, this is going to be ugly.
I thought the longest play
was 9 yards.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you knew it was going to be a rough game when the first series, the first thing they do is pan the sidelines, and instead of wearing a 26 in a full uniform, Lamar Miller's in a ball cap with a mouthful of seeds.
That too.
And you go, ugh, that's not going to help them.
First half, 12 punts and a field goal.
And his stat line as a quarterback was Brock-esque.
13 passing yards.
Yeah.
In the first half. I loved at halftime they had Deion on, and he goes, how do you throw for minus 5 yards?
On top of that, he goes, and Brock, they're coming to you, baby. So warm up. And I was like, God, please don't let that happen.
Yeah, with about 6 minutes left in the first half, they show a picture of Brock on the sidelines, and he's got this look on his face like, hell, I can do this. This is what I got pulled for? More of me? Like, that's literally what it felt like.
It was a $17 million performance.
According to what they have on the roster, it was.
Yeah, so it was bad, but thank God they got it right in the second half. But I'll say this, to your point about the defense, Clowney and company they just continue to impress. It's not a fluke that they are ranked where they are defensively in the league. And then on top of it, and again, I was talking to the guys over the weekend about the fact that, and even Larry and Stafford and a lot of these guys on Twitter are really concerned they're going to lose Bouye because of the fact that he's been playing so well. But A.J. Bouye, he's going to get paid, and he's going to get paid at such a high level. The Texans probably aren't going to be able to retain him. But, man, he's had a couple of down weeks, but for the most part, dude has stepped up and played just monster football.
Yeah. Well, I need to look at contracts, but it would be interesting to see who's the odd man out when Kevin Johnson comes back. Because you got to decide, are you going to keep Bouye or are you going to let Kareem Jackson or Jonathan Joseph go? My guess is, of the four, Joseph being the oldest, that you're probably better off with Jackson, Bouye, and Johnson. And, you know, if Joseph isn't willing to take a, you know, minimum or whatever, you gotta let him go. But I not knowing contracts, I can't speak to what the best scenario for them is.
You guys buy this? Travis told me that he thought that Bouye's played so well, and they've thrown his way to allow him to perform so well because Kareem and J-Jo still have an aura about their name that teams will stay away from them because of it. I have a hard time buying that. I've never thought Kareem Jackson was a way above average corner, though he got paid like one. And I just think for the great career that Jonathan Joseph has had, that he's lost a step and he's really looked bad for certain times of the season, that I thought that shouldn't scare a team with Andy Dalton and whoever the receivers are at the time. But LaFell looked great. But your guys' take on that? Because I'm not buying that.
No, I think that they're trying to pick on Bouye because he's the newer guy. I mean, he's the least proven. I don't think it has anything to do. I don't think teams are scared of Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson.
I think it's respecting him.
Although, you know, this team right now, this defense is they get good pressure on the quarterback and they cover well, and that's why they're as good as they are. But again, these guys, Bouye is just playing well. I mean, there's something to be said for the fact that he's just playing well, and when teams are choosing to go at him, he's making those plays. So I don't think it's a respect thing as much as it is they're trying to pick on Bouye, but I bet you that changes sooner rather than later.
There's a certain individual on the Texans sidelines that took extreme pride in the fact that the Texans came out of that game winning the division. So much so that he wasn't having it and wasn't hearing it anymore about any of the negativity or any of the criticism. I think it had finally reached its highest level. And we have audio to prove it. So when we come back, we're going to play that audio and talk about that. If you want to join the show, by the way, we'd love to have you. 713-780 ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can hit that up and you can tweet that. I mean, you can text that or you can call us and we'll get you on the show. We'd love to have you. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitter. You want to talk Texans? You want to talk Rockets? You want to talk about a lot of things, including Cavs Warriors? We can talk about all that and more. And we'll be here till 4. And before we go any further with the show, I want to tell you that even because Christmas is in the rearview mirror, the windshield is bigger than the rearview for a reason. That's because the opportunities are endless, and they are really out there if you go to Gallery Furniture. You don't have to go to the mall. You don't have to go to your local mattress shop that's on pretty much every corner in Houston, Texas. You can go to Gallery Furniture, and you can take care of everything from your furniture needs to your mattress needs and everything in between. The Macapedic mattresses start at $19.99, but if you get one, you get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card free, so you can do the math. That's quite a savings. Gallery also features American Solidwood Furniture, 2-for-1 recliners, and of course, all those Macapedic sleep sets. They offer the largest selection of living room furniture made in America, and you know Mac believes in solid wood, made in America furniture, and if you buy today, you get it tonight. That's just the way they do it at Gallery Furniture. They have 3 easily accessible locations. Post Oak at Westheimer. They have the store out at Grand Parkway on 99 in Katy, and they also have the old standby, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker. It is Gallery Furniture. You stop there and deck out your home theater just in time for the bowl games and the big game here in Houston, Texas. They have the largest selection of Made in America leather seating, and you can special order upholstered furniture to fit your man cave or home theater perfectly. Every time I see Mac, he says, come on out to Gallery Furniture, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, back both ways, no back. Quarter slips by today. Get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money. Michelangelo with the flow. Picasso with the
bars. Well put the ESPN 97.5. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock on this rather laid-back afternoon in Houston, Texas, post-Christmas. We were talking before the break about the Texans, and I was telling you guys about a certain someone that prowls the sidelines and is the first person to speak win or lose on the Houston Texans each and every week, that being Bill O'Brien. Had a post-game press conference, took some questions from Brian T. Smith of the Chronicle. Brian, very accomplished writer, as he'll tell you. Very confident and not afraid to ask any questions. But evidently, he asked the wrong ones to get on the right side of Bill O'Brien to start a press conference when you just won the division, because he was a tad bit testy. And so Brian basically set it up. Yes, they won the division, but... And Bill is one of those guys that likes to refer to whoever's asking the question by name, assuming he knows them. And Bill was pretty quick to go back at Brian in the press conference. And I don't want to say it got... Did it get heated, Nick? Can I say, is that fair to say it got a little heated?
No, I didn't get heated. He didn't even... Actually, if you listen to the entire press conference, he circled back.
He does circle
back. Kind of gave him credit.
Yeah, I think it just was one of those things where Bill was finally like, you know what? Everybody has hammered us all year, and we finally did what no one thought we could do. So it sounded a little something like this.
Bill, obviously, it wasn't the prettiest of games.
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt
That's
you.
That's right. But you guys are exactly back in the playoffs.
So, wow. It started out a little contentious. Can I say that? Is that better?
Yeah, I mean, Brian T. Smith opened up with, it didn't look like it was the prettiest win. That's
it wasn't
first,
pretty.
That was the first...
Right,
first words that came out of his mouth, and so
that's are you probably, saying that's not appropriate?
No, I'm saying that's what triggered Bill O'Brien.
Who cares?
Perhaps.
Stop acting like a child.
Right.
Your offense sucks.
Yep.
Deal with it. You're gonna get asked about it. You put up 12 points. 12 points. Listen, Jack in the Box has a deal where if the Texans score 2 touchdowns, you get a free Monster Taco. The city's never getting free Monster Tacos the way that this team is playing. You hear me? And this is what I'm most mad about.
Well, and here's the thing.
I need my free taco.
We're on radio.
But the fact of the matter is, your offense sucks. Deal with it.
So you're on radio, or we're on radio. So if I was to say the 2 words that best describe this offense that we can say on radio.
Poopy.
I would say conservative and predictable.
No, I was going to go poopy, but with the S word.
That's what I'm saying. But for what we can say. But
yeah.
But I think that that showed you that he had just about, he thought this validated everything to say, stop talking about the negatives. We won the division. We're in the playoffs. Time to move on.
Dude.
The media has a job to do, too. They're not moving on. It's the main story. Barry just covered it. If you're not getting tacos with the talent on this team.
That makes me so mad.
Yeah, you are getting screwed more ways than one. That's
if you put up 13 passing yards and a half and you don't expect to get asked about it, you're delusional. Yeah. You're delusional as a coach and as a human being. This offense is atrocious right now. Two more trips to the red zone. Two more field goals. Thank God for the one drive that they scored a touchdown on, because otherwise, this is field goal city. That's what this is. And he wants to, he can get mad all he wants. But like you said, the media has a job to do. And the job is to ask, why does your offense suck so bad?
But this is a classic Bill Belichick from a guy that hasn't achieved what Bill Belichick has achieved success-wise. Like, Belichick can go, we're on to Tennessee.
It's not, though. Yeah, but here's the difference. It's not Belichick, because Belichick would let him finish the question and go, this game is over. We're moving on to, you know, to Tennessee. We're looking forward to the playoffs. That is a Belichick.
Now, I've seen Bill get testy. I've seen Bill get testy, but Bill's idea, to your point, Bill's idea of getting testy is just, I'm just going to very abruptly, but not raise my voice, even if you're still talking, go, we're on to Tennessee.
Yeah,
but and that's, you're supposed to move on. Now, if you're Bill Belichick and you've won multiple Super Bowls, created a dynasty in New England, done all these phenomenal things as a team, you have a little bit of a respect factor that people will take into consideration. I'm tired of Bill O'Brien acting like he's achieved what Belichick has achieved and that everybody should just play by his rules. Everybody's got a job to do, and you're putting a product out there that you have to answer to. And if you're not willing to answer to it and you haven't achieved what your mentor has achieved, don't think that same kind of crap's going to work.
Yeah, I don't know why he did that. I mean, he would get cooked in a market like Philly or New York. Yeah. The media would just...
L.A., Chicago, keep going.
They would not let up at all. But I will say this. The media will go down, take the elevators down, right, wait for the locker room, and he'll be in the locker room giving his post-game speech. And after a win, it's really, you know, everybody's in a good mood at that time.
Oh, of course.
And then he walks from that locker room, and he goes straight to the podium where he meets Brian T. Smith. So he's like coming from this high, and then he knows that Brian T. Smith is going to go the negative route. And I'm not making excuses for him.
Why isn't Brian T. Smith in the first powwow where it's all positive?
I don't know. I mean, I just think that might be a contributing factor to why he reacted the way he did. Because he was just, I saw him in a very happy mood walking out of the locker room, and then the first question he gets hit by is that Brian T. Smith.
No, because he knew that that's a fool's gold win. This is a fool's gold team. They are going into the playoffs with one arm tied behind their back because they can't score in the red zone because their offense is terrible.
Let me set a scenario for you guys, right? So let's just take everything from the other night and let's say Bullock makes the kick.
Yeah.
Now take that press conference and take it into every news story in this town and think about Choke City all over again. Thinking about the fact that the unthinkable that we talked about became a reality and Tennessee lost. And you have your future, your playoff life sitting right there in your hometown, in your stadium, with a chance to do something to a team that's going nowhere. Take care of business. Put it all behind you and set yourself up for the postseason. Like Travis says, you can't win it unless you're in it. Well, you're in it. And you would have choked it off. And your ex-kicker, who is an all-pro at the buffet line, ends up kicking it through and does a huge dent in your playoff opportunity, your playoff chances. Now set it up and think about what it would be. I mean, you have to face the music, and you have to realize that the media has a job to do, too. And they're not Stevie Wonder. They're not blind. They're not looking at this team going, God, because they won the division, they're a great team now, and they got a chance. The funny thing to me was Granato was tweeting during the game, God, this sets up beautifully, because now they get the Chiefs at home, which they want, because the Chiefs can't win here. And then if they win that game, it sets them up as the one team that can go into New England and win.
He was saying it all tongue in cheek, right?
Sarcastic. But to hear all the Texans fans, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We're going in there to kick some ass, and we're going to take care of Kansas City. I don't know if you watched Kansas City the other night, and especially their defense and their special teams and Travis Kelce. You don't want Kansas City no matter where you play them. You can play them in Wyoming. It's Nothing is forgotten about just because you won the division. It's still a crappy division, but I'll give you credit. You're in. Now do something with it. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, and in regards to who they're playing, a Oakland loss and a KC win, and those teams will flip-flop, which could be the best thing for the Texans if they want to have a shot at advancing a round in the playoffs, is a Derek Carr-less Oakland Raiders team
Or a Miami Dolphin team with Matt Moore.
Well, they won't get the Dolphins. It's either going to be the Chiefs or the Raiders. And so one of those teams will be number two, and one of those teams will be number five. And that would be who the Texans would play. So, yeah, the best thing that could happen is Chiefs win, Raiders lose, and the Texans get a shot to not have to face the Derek Carr-led Oakland Raiders, just the Oakland Raiders. But I'll tell you what, here's the thing. There's good news and bad news when it comes to the Texans. The good news is, yes, you've made it to the playoffs. Congratulations. And defense can win championships, and this team has a really good defense. They got good pressure up front. Bouye's playing his ass off. Demp's got another INT. This is a great defense right now in the NFL. Savage played okay in the second half. If he duplicates that in the first half, then we're not sitting here talking about how bad this offense is because he throws for over 300 yards. The fact is, though, he threw for 160 in the second half, which was almost what he netted for the game. The bad news is they still have to play offense in the playoffs. And I'm telling you right now, this team, there is not a team in the playoffs in the AFC that doesn't have a good defense, right? Miami, if they make the playoffs, good defense. The Raiders have a good defense. Everybody else that won their division has a good defense. This team is in trouble if they can't put up points, and especially scoring in the red zone, which they didn't do again. So the Bengals got 10 hits on Tom Savage. So offensive line, the whole offense has work to do. I mean, from top to bottom, these guys have a lot to, you know, they have a lot of work to do, and they better try to put something together against Tennessee that makes them become a better offense in a week.
What I want to look back is how many times they made it to the red zone, because how many times we talked about twice. They made it to the red zone?
Twice.
That's it?
Two red zone, yeah. Two red
the entire
zone.
Season or just in that game?
No. In that game the other night.
They, yeah, okay. Two red zone. They made it to the red zone twice, and they scored two field goals out of it. And that's literally been this entire season. They're 31st in the NFL in red zone scoring.
Now, I've also heard this from a couple of people close to the situation, but Bill O'Brien pays probably way too much attention to what the media says about his team. And I think that had as much to do with his reaction as anything, that he's just really tired of everybody picking on his team. But you know what? It's all deserved. It's all because of the way they've played.
Right.
And the only way it's going to go away, if you show some consistency to turn it the other way, and he hasn't been able to do that. One half or three quarters of a game with Tom Savage wasn't enough to do anything but get people to raise their eyebrows and go, okay, let's see if the change does us good. And although it was better at times in the second half, it wasn't nearly enough to say, oh yeah, I think we've moved on and we're in a positive situation. Now, you can't do that. And the media is not going to do that because they don't work for the team. So the only time you're going to hear those kind of things is out of Mark Vandermeer and the people over at the interchange between 59 and the Galleria area and the other highway. And if you know what that is, you know it's 610. We got plenty more to get to, and we can talk about that. We can talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and where this team goes from here. And the fact that they damn well, as Barry said, they damn well better use the Tennessee game to try and use it as a positive stepping stone by getting some of these wrinkles out, by trying to get some things in that work, and trying to make something of that game to get them prepared for what could be a short playoff run if they don't straighten it out soon. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Barry, Joel, and Nick till 4. Been rolling along here, and a staple in Barry's mind in what we get to do in recapping the Texans games are the pros and cons. And Barry has them lined up for what he took away from the Texans' win on the Randy Bullock miss.
Yeah.
So
it's the good news, bad news. I mean, the good news is they're in the playoffs. That's one of the good news. The good news is this defense is playing like championship caliber defense right now. Again, good pressure up front. Bouye, 9 solo tackles and 3 pass defenses. from a guy who you didn't expect to get anything out of to begin with this season, and he's still playing his ass off. So Demps, another interception. Clowney got a sack. The pressure up front is still there from this Texans defense. So that's the good news, is they're keeping you in ball games, and this team is going to go as far as that defense allows them to go, because they're not going to win, or they're going to win in spite of the offense, not because of it. And the good news is Savage did play well in the second half. You know, they had that long drive where they answered the 86-yard touchdown pass to LaFell with a touchdown drive of their own. And that's good to see from a team that desperately needed something like that. Because when you saw that, you thought, oh, hell, here we go. Field Goal City's about to throw up another one, and that's not going to win this game. So they had a good drive that answered that score. So that's the good news. Bad news is they have to play offense in the playoffs. It's not just defense only. So their offense is sputtering, and I don't think that's going to change between now and when the playoffs roll around. They still stink in the red zone. Also bad news. And I looked at the plays, and it's eerily similar when you look at their two trips to the red zone. Their first trip, the first and goal from the eight, it was Savage got flushed out. It was a pass. He got flushed out, rolled to the right, incomplete. Blew 2-yard run, and then a swing pass to Hunt after a penalty, and that was it. Field goal. Second time, Savage throws it away. Nobody's open, similar to the first. Blew 2-yard run. That terrible throw to Hopkins, which I don't know if it was a fade route or a back shoulder throw. It looked like a combination of both. Uncatchable ball and a field goal. Very similar in both instances down there in the red zone. So the play calling is still an issue. It's still an issue, and that's the bad news is that's not changing. And I don't think it's going to change this year. Also bad news, Bengals got 10 hits on the quarterback. That's not good. The offensive line has got to give better protection. Now, they did in the second half play much better. There was only one sack in the second half as opposed to the three in the first. And, you know, it's no coincidence that Tom Savage had 160 yards passing and played better in the second half when the protection held up. And then the other bad news, of course, is that we're never going to get Monster Tacos for free. I'm just so upset about that.
You know, I look at it and I say, Savage, I give him credit for one thing. He hung in there. He took some shots and took in order to try and complete some tough balls, he hung in there and really took a beating to some degree. But yeah, I mean, look at what you're saying, and there's a whole reason and a half why I've said all along, at least the second part of this season, that Bill O'Brien needs to be on the hot seat. So does Rick Smith. It's simply because of the fact that what you said, play calling. Well, you want to blame Godsey, but you can't, because the head coach came back and said, I'm taking play calling back. It's on me. And then he said, well, it's kind of a combination. You know, we're always going to be talking. That's fine. But you publicly said, it's on me. And what's on you right now is a predictable, conservative, atrocious offense. You can't, there's no bones about it. And we're doing this radio friendly. If we were sitting there in the locker room, in the living room, at the water cooler, we're going to use a lot different terminology, and it's not going to be pretty. It is ugly, and it's hard to watch. My mother-in-law is watching the game with us on Christmas Eve, and she goes, this is about as ugly as football gets. Her husband has been a high school football coach for like 20-some years. It was brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really was. There's no other way. That's what pissed me off about hearing that soundbite with Bill O'Brien and Brian T. Smith, is he has the nerve to go up there and get defensive, no pun intended, about a question asked about how poor his offense looked, when the fact of the matter is we all watched the game.
And truthfully, he Bill, didn't even finish the question. I mean, the guy, he was in defensive mode right when he walked.
Yeah, you're
he
right. That's the best thing you've said so far. That's the most accurate thing you've said so far about all of it. He walked in, guns loaded, ready to start firing.
And do you know why? Because he knew how bad of a game that was. He knew they got lucky. Let's be real honest and real clear about that. They got lucky to win that game because Randy Bullock is Randy Bullock. That's the only reason they won that game.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they didn't outplay the Bengals.
No AJ Green. Yeah. You know, the scenario
Eifert.
Yeah, the scenario set itself up for a blowout.
No AJ Green?
Or a team that's just going to fold up their tents and go, we're not in, so you guys take care of your business. And instead, Cincinnati looked like the team that was in control for most of the football game.
A 5-9-1 team without their four best players, and you beat them by 2 points on a missed field goal.
And you're happy about it.
And yeah, and you're mad because you want to know why people are questioning what's wrong with this team. I mean, honest to God, if you went out yesterday or Saturday and bought an AFC Championship shirt or hat, you should be ashamed of yourself, and you should never wear that in public.
Well, everybody,
you
know what's killing me is that
they had them bought literally right after the game. People were tweeting and Instagram at the game.
I told a buddy of mine, I got my shirt. I was like, you wasted your money. Go return that right now because you should be embarrassed to wear that shirt.
Yeah.
Honestly, dude, listen, if you bought a shirt, the best thing I could tell you is when we get that cold snap, use it for kindling.
I'm telling you this right now.
Use it to warm up your fire.
Take last year's too, which everybody said should never have been worn because they backdoored in to the worst division in football. You go around town these days, if anybody's wearing those shirts, I guarantee you somewhere in their refrigerator is a full pitcher of Kool-Aid. And they drink it every single 4 hours. Because there's no way you can be happy about that. Yes, I understand Travis's point. Hey, you can't win it unless you're in it. And yes, you got an opportunity. But it's just the way you go about getting in. If anybody in the rest of the division was worth a crap, I just don't see how, and I can't explain. The Colts have just fell off the planet, but they just wouldn't. It's terrible football on the offensive side of the ball, and what it's doing is it's ruining a really good defensive effort for the entire year, especially when you take J.J. Watt out, when you take Johnson out, when you take Simon out for some games, when Clowney's been in and out, and Cushing's been in and out, and all the injuries they've had to endure. I'm telling you what, Romeo Crennel has done one hell of a job because that defense has not only kept you in games, it's probably the reason why you've won a lot of games because while you're not scoring 20 points, neither is the opponent.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Lane Cooper said only acceptable shirt is a Randy Bullock jersey. That's pretty good. We got a text. Somebody reminded us, don't forget Cincinnati gave up 5 first downs on penalties. That's true.
Yep.
That one of the drives there, yeah, 2 pass interference calls within 3 plays that kept that drive alive. So there's, yeah.
And by the way,
it's ugly.
I want to tell you guys this to get your thoughts on this too, but I got a text from Keenan after the game was over that said, that's expert analysis. I told y'all they were going to win the division. No, what you did is you told us they were going to go 4-1, and there's still a chance that they can go 3-2 if they lose to Tennessee. So let's not jump the gun too far.
Now, you want expert analysis. Who called the Cleveland win?
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Guys, bring it in. Give Daddy a hug.
I'm telling you, the holidays. Come on now. The holidays. My man's his own mistletoe. He is kissing his own toe.
Oh, listen. How many people were going out on a limb and saying that the 0-14 Cleveland Browns were going to beat the Chargers? One dude, this guy right here, nailed it.
It was a good. I mean, look, you did. That was a hell of a call.
AJ was.
I watched that game. I was like,
AJ was like, did you bet money on that? I was like, hell no. Are you crazy?
You could have bet Travis's dad. Just bet him $1.
Yeah, no kidding. But no, I wasn't. Because he told me, he's like, yeah, you should have bet on the Jags and the Browns because you got both of those. Nah, I ain't that crazy. Listen, I had a feeling. That ain't good enough, though. Not to bet money on it. El
Jefe says, what about a hat? Should I be ashamed for buying a hat? Absolutely, you're damn right you should.
Turn you know what? Out, wear it backwards like a rally hat.
If you're going to go undercover with a squad car that you drive in, you should go undercover with your love of a division championship. There's no way that thing should ever touch your dome piece, and it probably shouldn't be on display anywhere in your possession. Just saying, if you're a friend of the show, then all bets are off, and you are fair game. If you wear that hat anywhere in public, we will destroy you. How about that? That's as simple as it gets. Now, I got something for you guys. How about the fact that Roger Goodell, the control freak, who likes to control every scenario associated with the NFL, has something completely out of his control this weekend? You know that if 2 teams tie this weekend, they're both in. And if one team wins otherwise, either team wins outright, the other team needs help just to try and sniff the playoffs. So the what-if scenarios could be rather interesting and amusing when you think about it. We'll talk about that more in just a few. ESPN 97.5. Help somehow, somewhere, and no one cares. I'm my own worst enemy. ESPN
97.5. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn,
and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.